This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:37 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. Our next story is, what is the best way to handle a by-election during a pandemic? Because a number of them have been triggered by the deaths of some MPs. So Batu Sapi and Bugaya in Sabah, and then Gerik in Pahang. We know that a state of emergency has been called in Batu Sapi to delay the by-election there, given the number of COVID-19 cases in Sabah. And in a nationwide address, the Prime Minister said, and this was a couple of weeks ago now, that the declaration is necessary for health and safety. He did, however, also stress that people's lives wouldn't be affected since the emergency didn't involve a curfew or a military-style administration. So the idea here is that it really focuses on the safety concerns around holding an election of any kind. So since that happened, the state government has also asked Putrajaya to consider doing the same for Bugaya. Sabah's COVID-19 spokesman, Datuk Sri Masidi Manjun, said that it would be the right thing to do and asked the EC to look at the precedent that has been set in Batu Sapi. This follows the federal government's announcement that they are considering a state of emergency in certain areas to avoid by-elections until the pandemic is curbed. So the reason why we wanted to talk about this today is because, as we know, there was a lot of furore surrounding the idea of a national state of emergency that didn't end up getting called. And I think it is worth looking at the repercussions that the precedent does set. So we know that it has been stated in Batu Sapi that the state of emergency is primarily to prevent the by-election. What does this mean going forward? And what does it mean if we see this being used elsewhere? Are there other alternatives to by-elections outside of a blanket declaration of the state of emergency and the postponement that could be considered? Because, like we said earlier, life is somewhat, despite everything, going on. And so we do need to consider these alternatives. We're going to be speaking after this with Professor Wong Chin Huat, political scientist. But if you have thoughts on this, I mean, how should we best handle by-elections during a pandemic? Please send your ideas and thoughts. That number to call, 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Break from monotony. BFM 89.9.
It's 5:43 on the dot. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn, and we're talking about how to handle a by-election during a pandemic, because so far, the reaction, at least most recently, has been to declare a state of emergency, and we've seen that. So it's a localized state of emergency in Batu Sapi, which really is just intended to be able to put off, I guess, the by-election that would have been called there otherwise. So we wanted to examine the repercussions and the precedent that Batu Sapi has set, and also look at whether there are perhaps alternatives that we could be considering. If you have any ideas or questions, send them our way. That number to call, 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us on the line now, Professor Wong Chin Huat, political scientist. Thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you, Lynn. Thanks for having me.
So we have seen these state of emergencies declared, suspending recent by-elections. Can you talk to us about these decisions?
I don't think they're justified, but we might want to start with by separating national and federal and state elections from by-elections. The simple reason is this: by-elections, in many cases, can be non-event. And we have had two after MCO. That's one in Chini in Pahang, and the second one in Slim in Perak. In both by-elections, we did not have any spike of COVID-19 cases. So by-election can easily become a non-event if you do not have very stiff contestation. In both cases, the main party did not step in. So the incumbent party merely faced the challenges of independent candidates. So the turnout rate was around 60%, and you don't see any much cases.
Do you think that it also depends then? Because so when we look at something like Batu Sapi and it being in Sabah and considering, I suppose, the experiences of the state and Sabahans with the rise in cases, with the focus on COVID-19 in their particular area, do you think that has any impact on these sorts of decisions, though?
I think the decision was probably more politically motivated to make a case that emergency are justified to postpone election. Let me put their case very clearly how this could have been done very differently. Had the nominations for Batu Sapi was allowed, and then after that nomination, you look at what's the situations. If you have very stiff contest, then the government can still postpone it with an emergency. However, if you end up having just the main party and maybe one or two independent candidates, it's going to be a non-event. This could have been easily avoided. So I would, and the funny part is this, the Prime Minister kept on stressing the danger of having a by-election, but his party was the one who insists, Besatu was the one who insisted to contest. So really, I'm not convinced that this is actually for national interest. This is for the party interest so that they can actually postpone the elections, which they did not want their opponents to have an effective walkover.
Mm. And now we're hearing words like precedent, right? So do these emergencies potentially set a negative precedent for future by-elections?
And yes, and the precedents might go beyond by-elections, because you try to send a message and say it is okay not to have elections. If you look at party elections in UMNO in the past, they always get postponed and people get used to it. So if you're going to have a case of postponing by-elections, we would do the same for federal and state elections. And people would soon get used to it and say that's fine. But the question is, how long does it make sense? Because in politics, timing is so important. If you can indefinitely postpone it, that would be problematic. So what we need is actually a much better solution. The first thing what I would argue that for federal and state elections is that we should start talking about full term for the legislature to run full term. One way is actually to do very formally, as in the United Kingdom, that you have a fixed term parliament act to fix it in. Alternatively, it can be just an inter-party consensus or basically the government commitment, federal or state government commitment, that we would not hold early elections. That means you basically can push it back. In the case of Sarawak, you can push that back up to 5th of August for the last day. That means we have a lot of time to buy. We don't have to rush into a decision of having an emergency. So really, I think that's the first thing to do. And in the federal case, if the government survives, the government should not call for an elections. I think the thing here is that we should actually respond to the new normal, both caused by COVID-19 as well as political changes since February. So people should start talking about this, letting the government to run full term. If the government continues to enjoy parliament's confidence. However, if there's a change of that and we can't have elections, then basically what you need to do is to have a new government. And for the government to avoid such thing to happen, we have the options of confidence and supply agreement between the government and some opposition so that it would always survive confidence or budget vote.
Do you think that arranging for a walkover or a no contest would be a viable alternative in some or perhaps most instances?
Yes, it certainly is. Because if you look at it, in not just in Malaysia, in US, for example, you have a lot of by-election, what they call special elections. Basically, either you have a walkover or in some cases, those vacancies are filled by appointment. Under our constitutions, both federal and states, you have to have an elections within 60 days after the occurrence of a vacancy. So in this case, we can't avoid that unless you amend the federal or state constitution. However, that holding can be a non-event if the main party decides to give way. And it's very common for party to allow a walkover, not just in the past for Malaysia, but also in the case of UK, where traditionally the parliamentary speakers would have a virtual walkover, meaning that main parties would not contest against the person, as a form of respect for the person to have played a fair role as the parliamentary speaker. So to have a word, to give for main parties to commit to a walkover to the incumbent is nothing new. It is a convention that we should put into practice.
So how does prolonging a vacancy, which in some ways is what we're seeing now anyway, affect the ability of parliament or state assemblies to govern?
They do not, because that our parliaments and our state assemblies are not really functioning in the sense like as a full-time institutions. Our parliament met last year for only 68 days. Our state legislature met between 7 to 17 days. So with one or two vacancies, it doesn't change anything at all. Not in a daily operation, and certainly because one or two vacancies does not cause a tip of balance in the government position. So perfectly okay to have it, but we cannot avoid an elections unless we amend the federal state constitution on the 60 days limit after vacancy.
Okay, so in closing, you've mentioned this a few times, but I thought maybe we could end with a summation of sorts, because you have said, you know, people need to be talking about, or the conversation does need to shift so that we can start to think about alternatives. If you could sum it up, where do you think the conversation needs to be headed next?
I think we need to first talk about fixed term parliament, whether in a formal sense or informal sense. We need to talk about confidence and supply agreement so that government can survive in the event of doubtful majority, meaning that the government can survive without fear of some defections. In exchange, that the government need to be humble and reach out to the opposition to strike a deal so everyone can actually have a full term. And you can't say, I want to postpone elections until the time is right. Because in such case, then your opponent have no reason to play with you, to play ball with you. Therefore, what we need is actually an agreement to say, we all have to come together. And in the case of by-election, people should accept the fact that vacancy can be filled with an effective walkover. You can't stop independent candidates from running, but major party can stay away. And finally, in the event if we need to impose emergency, then this decision should be made just before the running of the elections. It can be as late as after nomination. And there should be a timeline, like, for example, every emergency carried out in that case should perhaps last for 3 months. And after that, you need to continue again. And maybe with also to be approved by the parliament or legislature. So if with all these things in place, we can keep democracy without taking unnecessary risks on elections. And of course, the election, running of election itself can reduce risk. You can practice SOP. You can reduce the crowd by having early election, poster voting, and remote voting. That would also help to cut down the need for people to travel back home on public transport and so on. And finally, we can replace door-to-door canvassings and rallies with campaigning on radio and TV with free airtime and so on. So plenty of ways to overcome this. We should not sacrifice democracy for health. We need a healthy democracy for us as people to stay healthy as well, because otherwise you can't make sure that the government would always put your best interest as the priority.
Chin Huat, thank you so much for speaking with us this evening.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
That was Professor Wong Chin Huat, political scientist, talking us through alternatives or ways to think about handling by-elections during a pandemic, and I guess more broadly, touching on the importance of preserving our democracy in this time. So if you have any thoughts that you'd like to share on that subject, you can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.